Thank you for tuning in to Rightly Dividing Word of Truth. And as we continue our lesson in Matthew, we're in lesson 30. In Matthew chapter 10, we're going to start this morning. Matthew chapter 10, verses 5 through 6. Matthew 10, verses 5 through 6. Matthew 10. These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, Go not in the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. This is a great commission, if you will, that Jesus Christ gave to apostles for the nation of Israel only. Now, he did not give it to the Gentiles as the nations, because you just seen what he said. Go not in the way of the Gentiles, but where? But rather, verse 6, rather lost sheep of the house of Israel. Hold your finger there and go to Matthew chapter 15. You've got to remember these verses. Get Matthew 15, and Romans chapter 8. Matthew 15 and Romans chapter 8. Matthew 15, verse 24. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of what? Israel. You got that. Go to Romans chapter 15. Romans chapter 15, verse 8. Romans 15, verse 8. Now I say that Jesus Christ has become, was a minister of the circumcision for the truth of God to confirm the promises made unto the fathers. Through Paul the Apostle, for us members of the body of Christ, that's a very, very important verse. Because it's telling you that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision. I know what some Bible versions say, it says has become, but there should be a problem with that. Because if Paul is saying that Jesus Christ has become a minister of the circumcision, that means he's a minister of circumcision right now, even through his apostleship. So it's very, very important to know. Go back to Matthew chapter 10. God the Father sent Jesus Christ to redeem Israel. We know that, don't we? Okay? In John chapter 20, verse 21, I'll read it for the sake of... time. Then said Jesus to them again, Peace be unto you, as my Father hath sent me, even so I send you. So God the Father had sent Jesus Christ and to do something, and Jesus Christ is sending the 12 to do something. So when Jesus Christ said to God the Father, sent you, he's saying that he's got a commission. God the Father gave the Lord Jesus Christ a commission, and that's what it was. In verse 5, he says, go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Now, there's a very special note that you should think about. You're in Matthew. Go to John chapter 13. John chapter 13. He said in John chapter 20 to the apostles, Father had sent me, even so I sent you. Look at John chapter 13, verse 20. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that receiveth whomsoever I send receiveth me, and he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. That's a very, very important verse to understand. Because think about this. People will understand and accept what Peter, James, and John, that Jesus, they'll stand up and say, yes, God sent Peter, James, and John, you know, and sent them out. But when it comes to Paul, the apostle to the Gentiles, a lot of people will not acknowledge that Jesus Christ sent him out with a special apostleship, okay? And you got to think about, why do people reject Paul's teachings if Christ sent him out? You with me? And Paul says, I'll be followers of me as I follow Christ. So what I'm getting at is when you get to the letters of Paul, you understand that Paul writes to a specific group of people. in the dispensation of grace. So when you see that verse and you understand that God said, Jesus Christ said, whoever I send, you receive. You receive me when I send him out. So when people reject this message of grace, they're rejecting the Lord Jesus Christ. And so they're rejecting God the Father. That's serious. That's serious. But that was just a note. Go back to Matthew. Jesus Christ sent his disciples also to Israel. Very important to know that the whole Bible, the prophetic program, including the Abrahamic covenant, was through the Abrahamic seed. The nations of the world would be blessed. That's this promise right here. God pulled a promise of Abraham and promised him a nation and promised him a land. Okay? He separated Abraham. And during the earthly ministry of Jesus Christ, the Gentiles were without God, without hope. That's Ephesians chapter 2, verses 11 and 12. For sake of time, I'm not going to go through that. Many of you know that God made a distinction between the circumcision and the uncircumcision. God made a distinction between the Jew, the Israelites, and the Gentiles. That's why he said, I came for nobody but the lost sheep of the house of Israel. The Lord Jesus Christ knew about that Abrahamic covenant, wouldn't you think? And it was still in effect when the Lord Jesus Christ walked this earth. Thus, in Matthew, we just seen this, but you're in Matthew, go to Matthew chapter 9, go back one chapter, or a couple verses, verse 37 and 38. Chapter 9, verse 37 and 38. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers unto his harvest. You know who those laborers are?
Israel.
People would say us, but it's Israel. It's that believing remnant. That's why he's forming a group of people. That's the laborers. He's saying the harvest is full. And you always got to remember that God's plan was to bring salvation to the Gentiles down here. Okay? But in times past, it was going through the nation Israel. Today, you don't have to go through the nation. We know that. That's in the but now. Go to verse 7, Matthew 7. And as you go preaching, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. There should be no doubt in your mind about the message, and the issue was the kingdom of heaven is at hand. That's what John the Baptist preached. Didn't he not? Repent and be baptized, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Lord Jesus Christ comes on the scene, was baptized, and guess what? He says, he preached repentance, and the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now he's commissioned the 12 to do the same thing. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. The message that they are proclaiming is the kingdom's promise is an Old Testament that the literal, physical, visible, earthly Davidic kingdom with the headquarters in Jerusalem. That's what they're looking for. That's what they're waiting on. And the Lord Jesus Christ, their righteousness, our righteousness, is reigning in the midst of them, and it's at hand. It wasn't offered to them, it was at hand. Many of you may understand that. There's cups in the cabinet right now. That's at hand. Until you go over and open it up and grab that cup, it's not offered to you. Verse 8. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely ye have received, freely give. They had the 12, and we notice one of them was Judas, the Iscariot, the one who betrayed him. They had miraculously powers to go out. And when we get to Matthew 17, you'll see how those powers that he gave them from this point on up to Matthew 17, he gave them powers. It's temporarily withdrawn from the apostles, but they will be restored again after his resurrection. Okay? They didn't have powers right here. After Matthew 17, he's going to the cross, but when he comes back and put the Holy Spirit, did they not have powers? They had powers. They are sent out with miraculous powers to fulfill this commission that he just gave them. The Lord is confirming the word that they're preaching with the signs that follow. That's why when the 12 went out and they touched things and people seen healings and they seen eyes opening up and they seen all the wonderful workings of the Lord Jesus Christ through them, that's a sign. Okay? Who requires signs in your Bible? Jews require signs. Corinthians tells us we walk by faith, not by sight. If you can see it, it's no longer faith. Okay? And the signs gifts are given to the nation Israel to show them what God is doing. We know, you should know by now what the very first sign to the nation Israel was. Moses puts his hands in his, pulls it out, it's withered. He puts it back in there, comes back as what? Like a baby's hand. The staff turns into a snake. That was the very first two signs that God gave through Moses so they understand that God was with them. And they was marveled at it. And so after that, they started following him even more. Matthew chapter 10, verses 9 through 10. I know I'm going rather quickly, but just bear with me. Verse 9 and 10. Provide neither gold nor silver, nor brass in your purses, nor scrip for your journey, neither two coats, neither shoes, nor your staffs, for the workman is worthy of his meat. These apostles were not to make provisions on the earth for their future. That's what they're doing. He commissioned them. In fact, they were to sell out and not accept gold and silver. Boy, it's totally different today, isn't it? You got people out there, they want your gold and silver, don't they? You know? But look at Luke chapter 12. They not to accept gold or silver. Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12. Verse 32. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give to you the kingdom. Sell that ye have, and give alms. Provide yourself bags which wax not old, a treasure in heavens that faileth not, where no thief approach, neither moth corrupt. You see what they're doing? Sell everything you got. The Lord's going to provide for them. Look at chapter 22 of Luke. As long as Christ is on the earth, He will provide for them. Look at Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22. Verse 35. And he said unto them, when I sent you without purse and scrip and shoes, lack ye anything? And they said, nothing. See, he sent them out, he's providing for them, and they lacked nothing. Go back to, stay there in Luke 22. But however, just before Jesus Christ went to the cross, he withdrew the apostles' power and warned them to start making their own provisions. Okay, because he's about to die and leave the earth. Luke chapter 22. Luke 22, verse 36. Then he said unto them, but now he that have a purse, let him take it. Likewise his scrip, and he that hath no sword, let him sell his garment and buy one. For I say unto you that there is this that is written must yet accomplish of me, and he that reckoned among the transgressors for the things concerning me have an end. And they said, Lord, behold, here are two swords. He said unto them, it is enough. Now he's telling them, go buy this. Make sure you got provisions. Because why? He's going to the cross. He's not going to be with them. Okay. The powers and the provisions were restored again in the early Acts period over here in Acts chapter 1, verse all the way over to Acts chapter 7. They had powers, didn't they? And God restored them in the early Acts period when the Holy Spirit filled them up. And did they have any need after that? No. They had everything in common. If you know your book of Acts, they had everything in common. No man had any lack. So when Christ leaves and sent back the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, He functioned as Christ in them, and they again had the provisions they need. One, they go out exclusively once again to the nation Israel. After the Lord Jesus Christ died and was buried and rose again, He comes back to Peter, James, Peter and the 12, and their commission are still to the nation Israel, if you believe your Bible. They preached the kingdom is at hand. They had miraculous powers, and they laid not up provisions on earth for their future. You see what I'm talking about? Okay, go back to Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10. Bet you've never thought you knew so much in the book of Matthew has a lot to do with not today. It has to do with what's going on over here in ages to come. Okay? That's very, very important to know. There's three books in your Bible that's transitional books. One is the book of Acts. Well, book of Matthew. Acts and Hebrews. And if you can understand what God is doing through those books, you understand that they're a moving book, they're transition books, and Acts takes you away from the law system and brings you into the grace system. Hebrews takes you out of the grace system that God was doing with the dispensation of grace and puts you back into a law system that He's doing on the earth. Very, very important. But Matthew, as we study the book of Matthew and understand it dispensationally, you understand what God was teaching through Jesus Christ, was teaching His apostles, His nation, His world, if you will, what He was teaching to them is going to be applying over here. He was preparing that nation to go through some time over here. And as we work through here, we're going to find out. Verse 11 through 15. And into whatsoever city and town ye shall enter, inquire who is in it is worthy. And there abide till ye go thence. And when you come into a house, salute it. And if the house be worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it not be worthy, let your peace return to you. And whosoever shall not receive you, nor hear your words, when you depart out of the house or city, shake off the dust of your feet. How many of us do that today? But look at verse 15. Verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable in the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than that city. Now, from this point, the disciples are prepared and equipped to carry out Jesus' commission. Okay, he done commissioned them, and they're ready to carry out. And carry out the Jesus Christ commission. The instructions now deal with how the commission is carried out in accordance with the Abrahamic covenant. It's very, very important. I know I read through it very fast, but you need to listen to what he has to say. I'll bless those who bless you. I'll curse those who curse you. That's the Abrahamic covenant. Okay, we all know that. And the apostles went there out to go out in the spirit of judgment. Not just, you know, peace and bringing them in. They went out to judgment. And he says, and if these people are worthy or unworthy. That's two type of people, isn't it? You got worthy people, you got unworthy people. And if the people received the apostles, then that meant they received Christ. When God sent Christ, He sent you. Even so, I sent you. Talking about the apostle, not us. He sends them out. And if they received their words and they received their message, then they received Jesus Christ. Now, you got to remember what I read to you in John chapter 13 a while ago. Or was it John chapter 20, verse 13? About whomsoever I send. Now, God, Lord Jesus Christ, sends us an apostle today, but people rejects His message. And you know, I'm trying to share it. I'm trying to be as peacefully and loving and giving you truth for what God says versus, you know, my opinion. But look at this. And we'll enter in a kingdom once they receive them. They walk into a house. They find it worthy. That people in that house receive that message and they're able to go in the kingdom. But if they're not worthy, unworthy, what did he tell them to do? Knock the dust off your feet and leave. Now, verse 15 is a very important verse. Verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable in the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than that city. Yeah, whoa. You know what happened in Sodom and Gomorrah? He rained down what? Fire and brimstone. And he is saying that that city is more tolerable, right, than the city that you went into and they rejected this message. Now, when I say when you went into, I know you didn't go into. I'm talking about the 12.
So he's saying the judgment is going to be far greater in the future for people who reject.
And another example is the Bible shows that there's punishment for sin and will have different degrees based on their works. This is where he's looking at. Go to Matthew chapter 11. We've got some verses to run. Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11, verse 22. But I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the day of judgment than for you. Verse 24. At the time Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things. No.
25.
Yeah, 24, sorry. But I say unto you that it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for thee. Yeah. So we're going to look at some things. There's different degrees of punishment. And as many of us has raised kids, and we're raising kids now, and they've got different degrees of punishment, do they not? We don't treat our young married couple back there the same as we do our 13-year-old. We'd like to. You know, we like, but we don't. But so there's different degrees. Look at Mark chapter 12. Mark chapter 12. And when we finish this things here, I just hope it settles in some hearts, because some of us got some issues. We know we can't judge people's souls. We know that. That's not part of us. But God will. And God will judge their based on their works. Look at this. Mark chapter 12, verse 40. Mark chapter 12, verse 40. And verse 39 says, and the chief sits in the synagogues and the uppermost rooms at the feast, which devours widows' houses, and for make long prayers. These shall receive greater damnation. Okay? Now we're starting to see something. Whoa, we know people like that. We know people that took advantage of widows. We know people that took advantage of, you know, sitting and putting themselves way up here. What did it say? Shall what? Receive greater damnation. Now wait a minute. We've seen something over here that happened in Sodom. Okay? And he says, when you go in that city and they don't receive you, they're going to receive more punishment than it was over there. You think, oh my, you know, Lord God Almighty, you know, what are you saying? Keep looking. Go to Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12. Verse 47. And that servant, verse 47, Luke 12, 47, which knew his Lord's will, and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. Got that? Many stripes. Verse 48. And he that knew not, and did commit these things worthy of stripes, shall be beaten with few stripes. For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall much require, and to whom man have committed much, of him they will ask the more. You see the many, you think there's a difference between many and few?
Yeah.
Are they? Many of us are wearing glasses in here. Few of us are not. With me? There is a difference between many and few. Go to Romans chapter 2 and get Revelations chapter 20. Romans chapter 2 and Revelations chapter 20. Romans chapter 2 and Revelations chapter 20. Romans chapter 2. Romans chapter 2, verse 6 says, "Who will render to every man according to his deeds?" And verse 16 says, "In that day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel." Here's what I believe, that in the dispensation of grace, okay, you trust Christ died for your sins and buried and rose again. You're saved eternally, forever. No ifs, ands, or buts. Okay, you're going to be judged in ages, and when we're called out of here, you're going to be judged at the catching away. Okay, you're going to be judged according to Paul's gospel, what you did with this message. Okay, you understand that? The people that denied the gospel of Christ, denied that God died for their sins and buried and rose again, and they might have put works with it, or they might have did whatever, they're still going to be judged according to Paul's gospel. You with me? I believe when if you die, the only unpardonable sin that you can commit today, it's not blaspheming against the Holy Ghost. It's unbelief. You die unsaved. You cannot be pardoned for that. There's people who will try to baptize the dead. They'll try to pray out of the dead. They'll try to tell you that somebody's in purgatory and that you're going to have to pay the next 15 years X amount of dollars to get them out of purgatory.
What use would God have of them?
He don't. But the people wants to continue their religion does. So whenever you die, whatever dispensation you was in, from Genesis to Malachi, from Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, to Romans through Philemon, to Hebrews through Revelation, if you die unsaved, God's going to judge you out of those books. He cannot judge a person that died in a dispensation of grace, which is today, according to Genesis through Malachi. You with me? He's going to judge. That's why when he opens up books. Okay? Revelation chapter 20. It's very, very important to understand. Because when you die unsaved, that's it, buddy. You know, I am confident what I believe in. I am confident where I'm going. There's people out there, you know, I've asked people all the time, "Are you going to heaven?" "Well, I really don't know." I said, "If you want to know, would you want to know? If you could know, would you want to know?" "Now, I don't care to know." And I had to look at them and said, "You know, as me being a preacher, I just had to share this with you." You know, I'll tell them anyway. But Revelation chapter 20. Revelation chapter 20. Revelation chapter 20, verse 12. Revelation chapter 20, verse 12. And I loved when we had Brother Richard here last year at the conference. And, you know, everybody thought the world's going to end in 2012 and all that stuff. This is the verse, verse 12. Revelation 20, 12. Got it? 20, 12. And this is what he shared. He said this, but look, he said, "And I saw the dead and small and great stand before God, and the books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life." See, the books were open. And another book was opened, which was the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. Verse 13. And the sea gave up the dead which was in it, and the dead and hell delivered up the dead and were in them, and were judged every man according to their works. There's different degrees. And many of you may understand what I'm saying, but many of you may not. They're still in hell. Okay? And if somebody dies doing good works and deny the light, but still do good works thinking they're doing good, they're still going to hell. But they may not get as punished as much as somebody that totally denies everything. And, you know, we call murderers, you know, whoremongers, all that stuff, whatever. We know, oh boy, you're going to burn, and you're going to burn bad. Same as knowing that you're saved, you got rewards. Okay, when you're saved, you get rewards what you do with works. Now, works does not save you, correct? Okay, but once you're saved, you want to do good works, do you not? I do. I may not want to all the time, you know, because my flesh gets in the way. But you want to do good works. Why? To receive, what I believe, more crowns, more jewels, you know? And you do it because of grace. Father, we do thank you for so much in our life. We thank you for the things you've given us. And as we continue our study in Matthew, we just appreciate what you wrote to them to understand what they're going to be going through in ages to come. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.